thanks for tuning in to the Bird Brain Ramblings podcast. My name is John Hardy, and welcome. Join me for a podcast dedicated to conservation and admiration of birds worldwide. Well, hello! Thank you all so much for tuning in again. My name's John Hardy, and I am the host here of this really quirky podcast. It's great to be back in the recording chair. It's been a minute since I recorded anything, so it feels good to be back. And I come bearing a lot of news regarding my big year and other things like that. I've had a whole lot of adventures that I will cover in future episodes, simply because there's so many of them. And so I am going to try to get back on a regular recording and posting basis. So my apologies for being so relaxed in that recently. But yeah, it's great to be back here. I've been doing a lot of birding. If you have tuned in before, then you remember me talking about how I was going to be starting my big year, and so I did. Had a phenomenal start to the big year. I mean, just crazy awesome, and have already seen so many different lifers and things like that. It's really been shocking. So it's been a good year so far. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't tuned in before, or if you know you've tuned in, but obviously it's been a minute because I haven't posted anything. My big year is this year, 2022, starting January 1st through December 31st. I have a goal to see as many birds as possible in the state of Georgia. And that's not easy. I'm learning that it's not easy and it's not cheap, but it's going to be worth it every minute. My goal for the big year was to see 225 species of birds. And I don't think I set a hard enough goal, and I may go back and change that later because I am already at 181 species as of today, February 21st. So, that is like a huge big year. I mean, I didn't even have 100 species until like June, like last year when I was birding, for my year, I didn't even have 100 species until June. So this is truly outstanding. It has been so much fun just being out on the road, seeing all these birds, and I've got, like I said, so many stories to tell. These are stories that I'm never going to forget. It's memories that are being made, and I think that's probably the best thing, you know, even if I wasn't to hit my goal for the big years, I'm walking out of this with memories. I'm walking out of this with experiences that I will never forget. And so, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to more. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about today, Monday, February 21st, and my birding adventure from today. So you may be wondering what's so special about February 21st, and if I had been recording regularly, then you would already know. But this weekend was the Great Backyard Bird Count, and so it's the first time I've really taken it seriously, and I asked for the day off so I could have the whole weekend to be able to go and see some birds. And I really spent a lot of time for my weekend birding, as much of it as I could, which we'll hear about in a second. But today is the final day, the 21st, and I will have the results of my Great Backyard Bird Count ready for the next episode because there's still daylight hours, so there's no telling what I may still see. But it's been a blast. It's been a busy weekend. I am exhausted. There's no other way to put it. I'm also glad to be back in my house with heat, especially now that it's rainy and gross. At least it is here, so if you're somewhere else, lucky you. But it's totally worth it seeing all these birds and stuff. So I wanted to jump right on in. Friday I woke up, and I still had to go to work on Friday, which wasn't an issue. I was just planning on starting birding as soon as I got off work on Friday. Well, I woke up that morning and I just did not feel good at all. And I didn't know what it was. It wasn't like anything specific. It was just one of those, like, you just wake up and something is off and you don't know what it is. But I just got up and went to work like normal. Well, finally, about lunchtime, I had had about enough. I needed to go home and take some medicine and drink a lot of water and chill for a minute. And so I was able to leave early, thank goodness. I went home, like I said, you know, self-medicated the whole nine yards, and finally got to where I wasn't feeling quite as bad, and I went ahead and hit the road. For the weekend, I was supposed to spend the weekend with my grandparents in LaGrange, at our farm. It's not actually LaGrange, it's Pine Mountain, but in Pine Mountain, Georgia. I was supposed to be down there for the weekend, and so I was like, you know, I don't want to back out on this because I've been so busy with birds and stuff. I don't want to back out on this. I need to go see my grandparents. So went ahead and got in the car to go see the grandparents, and as I'm driving, I get an email, and I just glance over my phone and see that it was a Georgia rare bird alert. So I just, out of curiosity, loaded the email and started looking through it. And lo and behold, there were, I think it was four. I can't even remember at this point. But there were common golden eyes seen in Henry County, which is my home county. And so, actually, we live in Clayton County, but I work in Henry County. You didn't need to know that, but you know me. So I was like, well, let's just make a quick pit stop. So I drove out of the way to go to the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Now, what on earth a common golden eye is doing at the Atlanta Motor Speedway is beyond me. I did not even know that there were ponds around the Atlanta Motor Speedway for a duck to be in. So, learning experience for everybody. But I followed the directions that were given through the email and pulled on up, and it was so easy. It was one of those rarities that you get out of the car, you see the bird, and you're done. It was super, super quick and stuff, which was good because I didn't really want to spend a whole lot of time looking for it. I could have sat there all day, taking pictures of this bird and, things like that. But I just, you know, I saw the bird, stayed there for 10, 15 minutes and went ahead and left. Now, what was interesting about this, particular bird, it was in a pond with, some redheads. And, which I got some great views of redheads, probably the best views I've had yet of a redhead duck. And, but I was watching this common golden eye, and in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, a common golden eye's head is green. This common golden eye's head is purple. And I started getting a little excited because I was like, okay, a Barrow's golden eye has a purple head. But the chances of this being a Barrow's goldeneye are so off, it's not even funny. So I started looking into it. The only thing that it could have been was a hybrid between a Barrow's goldeneye and a common goldeneye. Everything else from the duck's body matched a common goldeneye. The only thing that was off was the purple head. And after talking to some fellow birders about it, they were all in agreement that it was more than likely just a common goldeneye with an off-colored head. It probably isn't even a hybrid, but that is a possibility. We just will never know. We'll never know the truth. So for right now, it stands as a common golden eye. Now that was a year bird for me. I had not seen one at all this year. I had seen some last year at the West Point Dam in West Point, Georgia, but this one was this year, so it counts for this year, which was really exciting. I got to see those, got some pictures of them, and just hit the road to go back to our farm. I birded around our farm a lot over the weekend, just watching, you know, all the feeders that my grandparents have out, walking around the property, recording everything that I could. Just some of the highlights from that, because, I mean, it's not terribly exciting or anything, but Some of the highlights from that were we had a sharp-shinned hawk, which I knew was already on the property, but I didn't expect to see it again. So it was cool getting to see that. Also, I heard our first fox sparrow for our property. I could not find the bird, but I heard it. And thankfully, the ABA's regulations say that if you heard it, you observed it, so it counts. And so that was the first fox sparrow for our property down there. Not our first one for the year or anything like that. I'd already seen them, but it was exciting to have a new thing added to our list at our property, so I can't complain. And what was interesting was the absence of cedar waxwings. Usually cedar waxwings are around the property in abundance. As a matter of fact, they're usually right out the front door of the house. In some of the evergreen trees that are just outside the front door, but there were none. I never once recorded a single cedar waxwing this weekend at the farm, and so it was kind of disappointing. I'm kind of confused. I mean, maybe migration's already starting. I don't know. It beats me. But so I birded around the property. Well, Friday night, I was like, you know what? Let me go try to call up some owls. And I know how everybody has differing opinions on playback. I get it. And I understand the point behind it. However, we're not in breeding season. We're not in nesting season. So I'm not as concerned about it right now as I would be if it was breeding season or nesting season. And it could distress the owls to a point that the young would not properly develop or, you know, so on and so forth. So I had taken my speaker out back and drove my granddad's truck out on the back part of our property and played some callback of some owls, and I never heard anything. Well, as I'm driving back, I had the windows down. It was cold, but I had the windows down just in case I heard something after all. And as I drove past one of our fields, I heard the peent call of a American woodcock. And I stopped the truck real quick because that would be my first one for the year. And I knew we had them on the property, but I did not have one recorded on our property. So this would have been the first one that I had recorded on our property as well. So I stopped and I listened to it for a few minutes, and it was dark by that point. So I really could not see it. I mean, I could have gone out there with, you know, one of the high power flashlights we've got, but I didn't want to, you know, disturb it or anything like that. Plus it was getting cold and I was ready to go back inside. So, but Friday night I heard it and that was really exciting. I got to add it to my year list. I got to add it to our property list. Good to go. Saturday, I spent a good portion of the day, birding, just not really doing anything specific, mostly just around the feeders again, around our property. I did visit a hot spot that's in Pine Mountain, and I cannot even... Vandergrift Lake, I think is what it was called. Vandergrift, something like that. And I don't have it in front of me, so my apologies. If you're the owner of that hot spot, just forgive me. But I drove out there to see, because I'd heard that a lot of stuff has been reported there before, and got out there. I mean, there was some tree swallows. There were some pied-billed grebes. We had a pileated woodpecker, which was exciting. Of course, some Canada geese. And so, I mean, there wasn't anything terribly exciting. The pileated was probably the best thing I got. The pileated and the tree swallows, because those were the only two places that I saw them over the weekend. So, really exciting to add those to the list. But like I said, not year birds, not lifers by any means. So it wasn't, you know, anything to write home about. But I spent most of the day birding and helping around the farm and things like that. But that evening, we sat down to eat dinner, and I ate my dinner kind of quickly, trying not to rush, but I ate my dinner kind of quickly, and I got up and just let the rest of the family know. I was like, hey, before it gets too dark, I'm going to go ahead and ride out back to see if I can hear the American woodcock again. Got out back. Not only did I hear it, but it put on the best display for me. And I got to see this bird. It flew circles around above my car. I got to hear all of its different vocalizations, like all three of the specific, well, two vocalizations, and then the way the wing beats, vocalization, or not a vocalization at that point, but you get what I'm saying. I got to hear all three of those. I got to see the bird, got good eyes on it for a few. My camera does not do the best in low light, so I did not get any pictures of it, which kind of stunk, but it is what it is. You know, I got to see it, and that's what matters. So it was really neat. Finally got to see that, and I mean, like I said, I probably watched it for 15 minutes. I mean, this dude just kept putting on a show for me, which was great. Something that I've never seen from an American woodcock before. It was really neat. So, I mean, up until this point, the weekend has pretty much just been relaxed kind of birding. You know, the feeders, the property, that sort of thing. Or even driving through town. I mean, there was at one point we drove through LaGrange, and every time I saw a bird that would have been a new one for the weekend, I went ahead and just stopped and made it, you know, one of those incidental checklists and moved on. Because I was trying to get my species count up. So Sunday came, and we are in the middle of Easter play season. Our church puts on a really good, really big Easter production every year, on Easter weekend. And, you know, if you're local, it's Faith Baptist Church in LaGrange, and it will be the Friday and Saturday night before Easter. It is free. Doors open at 6 o'clock, first come, first serve seating, and the show will begin promptly at 7. So quick little ad out of the way. But we are in the middle of Easter play season, and that means that every Sunday after church, we have Easter play practice. And I was kind of, like, torn between it because I needed to be at practice, but I already had camping reservations for last night up in North Georgia because I had some birds I needed to go try to get in North Georgia for my year list. And so I stayed through about half of the practice and just dodged out of practice real quick, you know, and I got in the car and started headed to North Georgia. Well, that was about 4 o'clock. Finally got there. It seemed like it took forever. It was like 7:30 by the time that I got to the campsite. When I got to Moccasin Creek State Park, which, by the way, I would give that place a 9 out of 10, definitely would recommend. I love the way that the campsites are set up, as they're kind of in these groups. So, like, I was thinking, you know, our family likes to get together, or one side of the family likes to get together and, you know, do stuff like all of us together. And it would be so cool because we could rent out an entire group of little campsites and every family could have their own campsite. It would be a lot of fun. So I do make plans on going back. And if you ever have an opportunity to camp or even just visit Moccasin Creek, definitely go for it. It's located on the banks of Lake Burton, and Lake Burton is also just a beautiful lake. Great drive around there. It was truly great. But I got there late last night. It was already dark by the time I got there, and the office for the park had closed, so I couldn't check in. So I went ahead and drove over to my campsite, went ahead and put everything up, the whole nine yards, and I put on 5 layers of shirts, 3 layers of pants, extra socks, got in my 0-degree sleeping bag, cinched the thing up as tight as I could get it without suffocating myself, and tried to go to sleep. And when I say try to go to sleep, I mean it, because there wasn't much sleep that happened. But survived the night. I mean, even with all those clothes on and everything, I was not warm, but I did not freeze, so we'll put it that way. The sun finally came up this morning, as I was sitting there wondering if it ever would. And the sun finally came up, and I got up to go birding. Lake Burton has been known to have a lot of birds on it, a lot of waterfowl. And so I was really hoping to see a bunch of, like, year birds, but I don't have a lot of waterfowl that would be considered year birds. So I went out on the lake there and watched for a long time. Did have a ring-billed gull that showed up and flew around the lake a little bit while I was there. But really, for the most part, it was hooded mergansers and buffleheads out on the lake. And I love buffleheads, so I can't complain because that's, like, one of my favorite birds. So I really can't complain. Buffleheads are great. So, enjoyed that part. And as I came back to my campsite, I was packing up and everything, and I heard something, and I stopped, and I'm like, okay, what was that? And I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, because it was a common raven. And, ravens are not, I mean, common ravens are not very common in Georgia. So, it was really cool to hear that. That was a year bird for me. It was actually a lifer for me, if you can believe that. Simply because, I had never recorded it before. I have heard and seen common ravens before, but it was not recorded. So it was technically a lifer for me, and it was a year bird, which was fantastic. One thing off my list I didn't have to worry about. My other targets for the weekend were ruffed grouse, red crossbill, if I could get lucky, canvasback, and a greater white-fronted goose. So I hit the road. As soon as 8 o'clock rolled around and the office opened, I walked into the office to check in and check out simultaneously. And, because I was only camping the one night, and so packed up all my stuff and hit the road. And my next stop was Brasstown Bald. Brasstown Bald is the highest point in the state of Georgia, meaning cold and wind. That's pretty much all you gotta know. As a matter of fact, this time of year, the actual road up to the tower and things like that, that is closed. So you can only go up to like the main parking area, and that's as far as you can go. I mean, you could walk up the hill if you wanted, but if you are overweight and lazy like me, that is not your cup of tea. So I just didn't bother doing that. But I knew that I might have to do some hiking because I had heard from several birders that ruffed grouse was not an easy bird to get up at Brasstown Bald. Even though it was one of the best places to see them, they're not easy. So I drove up to the parking area, which was an adventure in and of itself. Not as much of an adventure as coming down, which was probably the most frightening drive I've ever had in my entire life. But drove up the mountain to the parking area, parked my car, and I got out. I had my binoculars, my camera, the whole nine yards, and I pulled out my phone to listen to some calls on my phone for the ruffed grouse. My goal was to not call this bird up using my phone. Once again, playback is not the best thing on the planet. I have used it, and I'm not completely against it, but it's just not the best. So I was trying to avoid having to use playback to call this bird up. So I turned my phone down to what I thought was a low level, and I played one call and immediately got a response from one right on the other side of the parking lot. And here are these people talking about it being hard. You know, I've got one friend who's a birder, and he was mentioning he's been out there 10 or 12 times and hasn't seen one yet. And so I felt super lucky. But he only called the one time, so I didn't get a recording of him or anything. It really kind of stunk. But like I said earlier, if the ABA regulations say that if you hear it, it counts. So it counts. And the only other things that I had up there was another pileated woodpecker. Earlier I told you I only saw the one, but I did see another one, and it was there. But anyway, so I had a pileated woodpecker, and then I had a dark-eyed junco, which was my first one for the weekend. And that was all I had up at Brasstown Bald. But I had already found my target, so I was like, well, let's not waste any more time up here. Even though I probably could have hung out and, you know, probably even seen that grouse if I had tried hard enough and stuff like that. But it was like, time is of the essence, and I was already exhausted, and it was only like 9:30. So I got my car, headed back down the mountain, and started driving toward Blue Ridge. The most recent record of a red crossbill was off Goose Island Road in Cherry Log, Georgia, which is near Blue Ridge and Ellijay. So my goal was to go out to that road and see if I could hear it or see it, which in Georgia, most of the time, you're going to hear them, not see them, because of the fact that they're in the very tops of the trees. They're not very common. So as a matter of fact, they're marked rare in the state of Georgia, even though there are, you know, a lot of records of seeing or observing them, they're still considered rare for the area. So, as I was driving, I don't know why, but the idea of trying to drive through and find that bird today, just, I wasn't feeling it. And I know why now, but, I decided to skip out on that one and just keep driving. And I was going to drive over to Cartersville. To give you guys a picture of the driving that I did this weekend, I was an hour south of Atlanta in LaGrange for the weekend to turn around and drive 3 hours north of there, so 2 hours north of Atlanta, to the very eastern corner of Georgia where South Carolina and Georgia meet, then to drive all those crazy mountain roads across the north side of Georgia, then go south a little bit to go to Cartersville on the west side of the state in North Georgia. It was a lot of driving. I didn't check my odometer yet, but I need to. So I was like, let me just go ahead and drive out to Cartersville, because that was the spot where the greater white-fronted goose had been seen. And so there was two hot spots that it could have been at. They were very close together. And one of them is famous, and I had been saying for a long time that I was going to go. So I made a stop at Brandon Farm and Taff Road. If you're not familiar with this one, really it's just a set of farm ponds that are usually just teeming with waterfowl. And I want to say that one has over 200 species have been seen just at that hot spot. It's a really good place for rarities are always popping up there. Just about every winter, there's a snow goose and or a Ross's goose that shows up there temporarily. So it was really neat because I had been saying I wanted to go for so long, but I hadn't been yet. Well, I arrived to that one and, great birding, lots of sparrows. There was a ton of redheads, which was marked rare because I counted 54 redheads in this one pond. And, eBird flagged that as rare, which was rare, technically speaking. So, I saw my second blue-winged teal for the year. Also had some rusty blackbirds, red-headed blackbirds, common grackles, European starlings. They were all there making all kinds of noise. Oddly enough, I ended up with a Eurasian collared dove, which I was not expecting to see that far north, but I came across one, so that was really neat. And then had a huge flock of sandhill cranes fly over. I had video, I had audio, I have photos. So really cool opportunity to observe some sandhill cranes as they flew over. I was kind of hoping that they would land right behind the pond, but, you know, it is what it is. So I left the Brandon Farm and Taff Road hotspot to go to the Floyd Creek Church Road hotspot. which is not far, they're not far from each other. They're only a couple minutes. And so it was convenient, but I had not seen the greater white-fronted goose yet. That was one of my targets. So I was like, I definitely need to go. This was the easiest rarity to come across and see because I kid you not, I drove up, got my binoculars out, saw the geese and moved on. there's four of them. As of today, there are four greater white-fronted geese in a group of about 60 Canada geese that are hanging out in a field off of Floyd Creek Church Road. And so it was really cool. I got to see them. Good to go. I tried to get pictures, but they were really far away, so I don't even know how they turned out yet. We'll find out later. After Floyd Creek Church Road, I was starting to get tired. I had not eaten anything since lunch on Sunday. It was my own fault that I hadn't, but I had not eaten anything. I had not had any caffeine. I was just exhausted by this point already, and it was only like 11 o'clock. So I had originally made plans at that point that I was just going to go ahead and start heading home and stop and get some food somewhere and just come on home early, you know, do some stuff around the house, finish up birding at my feeders at home because there's still stuff that I haven't seen for the weekend that may show up at home. That was my plan, at least. But then I happened to remember that a canvasback was seen not far from the Brandon Farm and Floyd Creek Church hotspots. And so I put the address in and ended up having to drive further north, the opposite direction to where I wanted to go to get to the hotspot. Well, I got to this hotspot, and sadly enough, I did not see the canvas back. And about that time, it started raining, and I was like, okay, you know, I just need to go ahead and start heading home. But after today, I am at 181 species for my year list. I added 4 lifers to my list, which were the common raven, the ruffed grouse, the greater white-fronted goose, and something else, which I can't remember for some reason. It'll come to me. Anyway, so it was a good experience. Had a lot of fun. Definitely exhausted, but it was so worth it. And trips like these are what are keeping me going on my big year, because the financial side of things, I mean, this is costing a lot of money. The campsite cost money, the gas cost money, the food while you're out cost money, you know, the whole nine yards. I'm doing it as cheap as possible, but it's still a lot. I'm not worried about it, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to make it through this year, and then after that, I can deal with it at that point. But on top of that, when you're focused on birds so much, you're just so hardcore focused on birds for so long, it starts to get old, as sad as that is. And it starts to lose a little bit of the joy of birding, because now you're just focused on, I gotta see it, I gotta see it, I gotta see it. You're working on numbers, you're looking at graphs, you're looking at species maps and hotspot lists and rarity emails, and it's just, it's a lot to take in. And now all of a sudden, what was just a hobby is turning into a job. But days like today are what are keeping me going, because it was a blast. I was exhausted, yes. There was a lot of work that went into this this trip today, but it was totally worth it. It paid off in the end. So definitely appreciative of that, and I'm looking forward to some great trips coming up. I just got an email earlier this morning that we have a bird banding trip planned for this Saturday, which is going to be a blast. My goal is to go on this one, because I've been meaning to go on one for a hot minute now. And so hopefully I'll get to go on this bird banding trip and really get to see some cool stuff and, get some more of the hands-on science, behind ornithology, you know, actually get to see ornithology in action in the field and what it's doing, for the ecosystems that we're evaluating and things like that. So really excited for that. And I can't wait to tell you more about that. Like I said, I have a ton of stories that are backed up now that I can start going through on some of these episodes, and I'm really looking forward to sharing those with you as well. So until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and listening to a crazy guy talk about birds for literally half an hour. And I can't wait to, have y'all tune in for the next episode. So thank you so much, and we will see you next time. Until then, happy birding.